This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where we haven't been sued yet. So, you know, it probably means everything we say is the truth and right. Until, of course, we do get sued at some point, in which case they're just trying to hide our truth from you. It's a win-win situation for us. And by extension, I assume a win-win situation for you guys as well. We are your winningest podcast hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today to do a Chelsea episode that I always am confident that I've just nailed our intro for it.
Yeah. And regarding being sued, number one, I hope you didn't just jinx us.
No, because I did it both ways. I did it both ways.
And then if we are going to get sued, I hope it's for stealing Public Beach.
I was really thinking it was going to be
I wouldn't have anywhere to put that sand. I'm not a billionaire that has oceanfront property. Who am I kidding? I can't even steal sand from the rich and give it to the poor. The poor don't have beachfront properties. Anyhow, we forgot to say... Well, I mean, I'm going to say it right now. It's not that I forgot to say it. I'm remembering to say it. Happy Friday the 13th. I hope at least we calculated this right.
Right. I've completely slipped my mind, as you know, we are recording very much in the past.
And in honor of this Friday the 13th and Camp Crystal Lake, I've decided this week to have a closer look at some haunted campgrounds, which are close enough to Camp Crystal Lake and not unlike Camp Crystal Lake, except more haunted and less resident Jason Voorhees being there. First one up. Bottle Hollow Campground in Utah. And this one's come up before briefly, very briefly, and it's as close as you can legally get to Skinwalker Ranch.
Ah, yes.
Which is located in the Ute Indian Territory. This beautiful reservoir lake is great for fishing, hiking, and skinwalker spotting. I especially need to stay away from here, though, because I've done too much talking about skinwalkers, and I have a bounty on my head in their territory, so I can never enter that state ever again. This campground is frequented by a hunting party of Ute Indians, for one. I'm sure there's a lot of messed up things going on around there. One is a bit older than the other three, and they're unremarkable other than their strange choice of dress. And they just, you know, will like come sauntering through the campground. And when seen, the group is invariably wearing the furs and feathers of a bygone time. They've been spotted sitting around a fire, motionless and silent. One group of campers tells of their encounter with a hunting party, and the campers walked right up to the Utes and tried to repeatedly engage with them in conversation, and they never responded. So it wasn't until a few minutes later, when the Indians faded out of view right before their eyes, that the campers realized the truth. The fire crackled a few more seconds, then disappeared as well, and there's no sign of any burned tinder or any other evidence that the Ute had been there at all. Now, I couldn't actually find any other stories of people sharing of their experience at the campground as far as if they experienced any of the other weird paranormal activity that happens on Skinwalker Ranch.
Chelsea, I do have to ask, they kind of just assumed they're Ute, right?
I mean, you would think
it's the indigenous people of the area, I assume.
Yeah.
But that's them assuming.
It would have been an assumption, yes, but I don't know why they would be someone else.
Well, and I can just speculate here. It could be the ghosts of a moderately racist party that went awry back in like the 60s,
could
maybe.
Could be. There are other campgrounds in very close in vicinity that actually do like nighttime UFO spotting and stuff like that.
Oh, like Dr. Stephen Greer?
No, not like Dr. Stephen Greer. These people actually like get ATVs and like go out nightly just as an experience.
Okay.
Thing at the campground.
We got to do his episode at some point. He is the weirdest guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. So I thought if you're listening to this because you're looking for campground recommendations, I thought I'd share this one with you because, of course, I have Reddit encounters coming up. And in the Reddit encounters, I got this, like, recommendation that I thought I would share with you about the campground because I thought it was a very nice recommendation. So this is user Moon Jockey, and he says, there's a campground right next to Skinwalker Ranch called Bottle Hollow Campground. I wanted to camp there until I got there. It's really open, no trees, next to the highway, near a little lake. Across the lake is where the ranch is, but it didn't feel very spooky, you know? So I had a backup plan, and I camped at Uinta Canyon Campground. It's about 45 minutes away from Skinwalker Ranch, but it's near the, quote, Dark Canyon, and that's where lots of lore comes from. Supposedly, it's where the Skinwalker resides. It's also more forested and a nice little place to stay, much prettier than Bottle Hollow. The view from the campground is supposed to be a nice place to see UFOs or whatever in the sky. Like that little...
This guy is a very specific traveler.
He
seems to treat the Skinwalker as it's like, I don't know, the Mothman, where it's just like there's one and that's it. It's kind of like famous like that.
He might be a local. I don't know. That's what I get from it. He's like giving pretty detailed explanations. Or he is a very specific traveler. It has a great view of the valley. I didn't see anything, but it was pleasant. It's a typical campground, so camping solo wasn't too intimidating.
I just really like the fact that he was going to that first campsite because it was haunted, and then he just decided to change this other one. He gave all these other reasons why it would be so great, and then he says he doesn't see anything. And like, there was no reason to think he would see anything.
Maybe... I don't think he does
it. I like this guy.
But I like his
recommendation. Can we get him as a guest?
I know.
I like him.
I don't know. Maybe we can comment on his post, Moon Jockey. I wanted to camp more remotely, but there's not a lot of native land there where you could get in trouble if you're found there. I need to research this more. You need a permit to go to the actual Dark Canyon area, but you can buy them from local sports stores. I want to try that next. I hear that's where it's really creepy. I think you need a four-wheel vehicle to get there. I did drive all around the actual Skinwalker Ranch. There are some viewing spots that are good places to see things. I can give you more info on that if you like, but driving around the places was a good time. Felt strange, and you could feel the weird history of that place. There are a ton of cameras and weird warning signs.
This guy really cares about vibes.
His last sentence, damn it, I just want to see a ghost or something strange. I gotta go back.
Oh, I like this guy.
Yeah, I thought that was very insightful. So if you're ever in the area and you need some camping recommendations, there you have it.
Although,
I found him very helpful.
Yeah, if you're relying on him to see the ghost, just like, don't follow him.
Yeah,
she really cares about
vibes. At least he tells
you
where to go to get the good views.
Yeah, of UFOs, which aren't there.
So, the next haunted campground is the Braley Pond Campground. Braley Pond Campground is popular with hikers, campers, and fishermen with a pond and nearby creek. It is in the George Washington and Jefferson National Forest near West Augusta, Virginia. While it seems like a tranquil forest environment during the day, that can all change as the sun sets. People have reported getting nauseous when in the area, seeing floating orbs at night, and hearing horses galloping down the road. The most well-known tale is about the ghost that haunts Braley Pond. Campers claim to have heard loud laughter that can't be accounted for, and a ghostly figure floating over the creek. Man, would some people that listened to this podcast once be pissed if they heard loud laughter?
Only if it starts off by insulting someone they like, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. If that's the reason that brought them there, and then they heard laughter. Next campground. Antietam Creek Campground. Antietam Creek Camp. Damn it, that does not roll off the tongue.
Antietam Creek Campground.
Okay. Damn it. Antietam Creek Campground. There we go. If you are a Civil War buff, then you have most likely heard of the Battle of Antietam. Damn it. I hope nobody's heard of it, because then they're going to know I have no idea how to say this word. Don't know if I'm saying it right. On September 17th, 1862, the deadliest battle, oh, it's a famous one, of the Civil War took place near Hagerstown, Maryland. Battle of Antietam Creek left 23,000 plus soldiers dead, MIA, or wounded. At the Antietam Creek campground, campers have had encounters with military ghosts and claim to feel supernatural energy all around the area. Why would they have a campground there? Like, this was a battlefield once.
What
Why
do we mean by
a campground?
Supernatural feelings everywhere. That last sentence. I'm just confused what they mean by that.
Obviously, you've never felt it.
Yeah, and neither has Moon Jockey, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Moon Jockey. You seem like a great guy.
It's just, you know, a feeling that you get. Just like you get feeling happy.
Okay.
Sometimes you just get feeling supernatural about a place.
Okay.
Know what to feel it. Carl G. Washburn Memorial State Park, Oregon. Situated near the coastal town of Florence, Oregon, a haunted beachside campsite awaits your next supernatural adventure. While we have all heard reports of vengeful spirits, the spotlight here is on Rue, a long-ago steward of these grounds and lighthouse. Visitors have attested to witnessing her presence, sitting on the beds, and moving objects within rooms. Even laborers around the lighthouse have shared accounts of encountering her, offering assistance with their chores. That's a nice ghost.
No, that is not a nice ghost, Chelsea, because the ghost is fucking lying, because it has never helped with the chores. I guarantee it.
You know what? I think I'd be more pissed if I saw a ghost
and offered to help and fucked off.
But yeah, like one that doesn't say anything, fine. Like, oh, spooky, feeling supernatural. But one that's like, can I help you with those chores? And you're like, yeah, I could actually really
There's
use
a lot
a hand.
To do. I could really use a hand.
And then they just fucking disappear. Like, I would be pissed. I would not be feeling supernatural. I'd complain, probably, front desk. Like, can you send someone help here to actually help with the chores?
Chelsea, did you by chance look at any of, like, the one-star Google reviews? Because I guarantee you this ghost is there.
The one stars are going to be where it's at, too. Okay, that was the one I just read. Beaver Creek Campground. In August of 1959, a 7.5 earthquake hit the West Yellowstone area of the Madison River in Montana. Quake triggered a landslide, and millions of pounds of rocks and boulders crashed into a campground, killing 28 campers. Quake Lake was formed by this huge landslide, and the remains of the campground and trailers sit at the bottom of the lake. That's messed up. If you're a brave soul and camp at Beaver Creek Campground, how is the campground still there, though? Like, at the bottom of the lake? Is that where they want them to camp?
No, it's beside the bottom of the lake. They set it up there after the earthquake.
Oh, they put it next to the new lake with the old campground at the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
Right. We're learning all about where not to put campgrounds, that's for sure.
Not here where everybody died, I think, is always a pretty good answer.
Be sure to take a stroll down to Quake Lake at night. If it is a motionless night, you may be one of the lucky ones who see glowing orbs floating over the water where the campground once was. See, haunted campgrounds are a next level of spooky, because there's something about, like, not camping and just being in a house, but camping in something that's just like a thin piece of fabric.
You don't really have protection. By the way, I'm just assuming we are talking about tent camping, because I think this loses vibes if you're in an RV.
I did not picture an RV at all through any of this. And I think I should have started this episode by saying you need to be picturing tent camping for sure, just to give you the, those are the spooky vibes.
Yeah. You know what?
This podcast.
I could picture a tent trailer, perhaps, maybe even an Airstream, but that's where it like tops out.
Yeah. Even the Airstream's too much.
He's a little too fancy.
Yeah.
It's got to be a little run down.
You need less between you and the ghost.
It can only be fabric between you and the ghost. I think that's fair.
Yeah. And they know you're in there, but you don't know they're out there. You can't see them through the fabric. It's not that thin that you can see through it. So if that makes you feel better about it, then so be it. Big Moose Lake, New York. If you're in the... Oh, shit. Adirondacks?
Adirondacks. Adirondacks.
Adirondacks. Oh, that's a nice word. How do you know that?
You've never heard of the Adirondacks?
No. What is
it? It's lakes in New York.
No, never heard of them.
Okay.
Area, Big Moose Lake is a must for ghost enthusiasts. More than a century, individuals have caught glimpses of the spectral figure of a woman named Grace Brown. Her tragic demise transpired many years past on the shores of Big Moose Lake. Testimonies recount her ghost wandering along the lake's edge, while others believe they've witnessed the apparition of a woman in ethereal form submerged in the waters as if reenacting a drowning scene. In 1906, an 18-year-old named Grace Brown was toiling away at a skirt factory in Cortland, New York. Fate introduced her to a beguiling nephew of the company's proprietor, Chester Gillette. Their affections bloomed in secrecy, culminating in pregnancy, and fearing the plight of an unmarried mother, she implored Gillette to wed her, yearning for an escape from such a fate. Her hopeful anticipation, he pledged a journey, presumably a proposal in the making. Venturing to upstate New York, they embarked on a canoe voyage upon the lake. However, amidst their journey, Gillette, armed with a tennis racket from his bag, struck a brutal blow to her head, and despite her earlier admission of being unable to swim, the impact cast her into the water, where she met her tragic end by drowning. Gillette's arrest swiftly followed, leading to his eventual death sentence. Since those fateful events, she is often seen wandering the shores of the day, visiting the local cottages nearby, or reliving her traumatic death. She has busy, full days, it sounds like.
Yeah, according and most importantly, legends, she doesn't seem to attempt to fake it out and ask to help with the chores, which I'm on her side. She seems better.
Yeah, she does. She keeps busy, too. According to local legends, she is trying to extinguish all the lights in the local houses, but no one knows why. It's almost as if they made it up because it has nothing to do with her story.
Yeah. Also, I would really like to see someone who was around before electricity and probably had open flames, how they're trying to extinguish lights as a ghost. Like, it would be kind of spooky, yeah, but also kind of funny to watch.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like is she going up to the light and like blowing on it, or like trying to engulf it with her hands, or what?
Or like put a blanket over it to put it out.
Yeah. And I feel like I would just feel bad, and I would like ask the ghost, do you want it off?
Here, let me help take it off. Humboldt Redwood State Park. If you're looking for a more haunted campground in California, then add Humboldt Redwood State Park to your list. While you might catch a glimpse of Bigfoot, you might also encounter the spirits of Native Americans. I should have looked this up. Sinkyone people? Sinkyone people? Used to live in the forest, and their spirits remain to protect the sacred trees. I'm sorry, I wish I knew how to say that. Visitors and campers have reported seeing spirits landing in the dark forest and slowly melting into the forest. The Humboldt Redwood State Park is also home to the 6 ghost trees that the Sinkyone people deemed secret trees and are protecting. The ghost trees are rare albino redwoods that average 30 feet tall. That one's a cool one. Holy Ghost Campground in New Mexico. Situated in the outskirts of
Santa... Oh, wow. This one just embraced their name.
Yeah. Got ghosts. Holy ghosts.
That lake that woman was murdered on was a Big Moose Lake. Why can't it be like Murder Attempt or Murder Lake or something like that? Just embrace it.
Murder Lake, yeah. No, you're right. Like, name it after.
No, you know what? I think you gotta go a little fancier and do Lake Murder.
Okay, yeah. I mean, a lot of these could be Lake Murder. What about the one with the campground under the new lake?
No, Earthquakes don't murder. Don't think they have the intent to murder. You'd have a hard time showing motive of an earthquake in court. Plus, it could be self-defense. We don't know.
I mean, if we want to give it a literal name, though, it could be... Fuck, I'm not feeling quick-witted right now.
Okay.
Something like lake campground.
Sunken bath. Campground lake or something like that.
I give up. Yeah. No, those names suck. Holy Ghost Campground in New Mexico. Situated on the outskirts of Santa Fe within the quaint town of Herrero, this campground possesses an eerie allure. However, the paranormal tales are not necessarily the most spine-chilling aspect. What is it? To reach this spooky destination, adventurers embark on a journey down a creepy road that leads to Forest Service Road 122. Two tales exist regarding the origin of this haunted location. In one, it is said that during the late 17th century, a Spanish priest took the lives of Native Americans from the Pueblo. The alternative version recounts that the Pueblo Native Americans were responsible for the priest's demise. More recent mysterious events have occurred in the area that include disappearances, which would, in brackets, no clothing is found and no bones or bodies are discovered, automobile accidents, fights due to perceived paranormal sightings. Why fights? That took a twist.
Is it because the ghosts are offering to help with chores?
No, I did not. You didn't just fucking say that. Then
why didn't you tell me to look?
You son of a bitch. And then the guys working there are like, not another one.
Again, I'll go get the fight hose. The ghost fight hose to cool them down.
And ghostly figures floating in the forest. UFOs have been sighted overhead, and there are claims of a cosmic doorway where different energies and entities flip between realms. I like that one because that kind of reminds me of the things in Skinwalker Ranch where it was just like portals would open up.
Yeah, although what was the fight status of Skinwalker? Were they just breaking out constantly? I can't remember.
None. No. Okay. Not even one.
Huh.
So this is unique, this one. Hold on, I want to see this road. What is it called again?
Holy Does it mean Ghost you want to fight somebody?
Holy Ghost. Should I even be Googling this? Holy Ghost Campground. Is it going to make me feel aggressive? Santa Fe. Oh, it looks cool. Yeah, it kind of looks unremarkable. I don't see why this road looks so creepy.
Is it because of the false advertising? Are you just pissed about this false advertising now and need to punch somebody?
Okay, Lake Marina, California. In 1983, these supernatural occurrences were reported in the local paper. Quote, more than fish haunt Marina, end quote.
Sorry, what?
I don't know. More than fish. Oh, I read that wrong.
Okay.
Quote, I read it super weird where you wouldn't get the context. I'll read it again for you. Maybe you'll get it this time. Quote, more than fish haunt Marina.
Oh, okay. That makes so much more sense.
The emphasis changed. Park rangers and tourists have witnessed and reported a vast range of phenomena, not limited to heavy footsteps, following visitors, noticing the figure of an old man in the corner of their eye, and even seeing people levitating. One of the most infamous sightings of paranormal activity was when a ranger had a relative staying over in his house. A relative woke up in the middle of the night to see a baby's christening gown floating across the room. I don't know. I mean, if I was to see someone levitating, I would find that weirder than a baby's christening gown float across the room.
Yeah, they're probably pretty light.
I mean, it doesn't seem that they would need to get up and fight someone, though. So, be different.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I do want to just say, are we just going to let this reporter get away with saying more than fish haunt this area? And like, who's ever described a place as haunted with fish?
Okay, now that we back up, because I read it with the right emphasis on the right words, we can really think about it. Yeah. Is it an issue that
do they have ghost fish? Or is this just like a really bad use of a phrase that doesn't exist?
It's probably someone that's never written a news. It's either their first day or they've never written. Like, the guy called in sick and he's like, fuck, I'm going to have to do this myself. What's a good title for this article?
You know what it could be, too, is a misunderstanding of a fairly common phrase that he's just always had wrong in his mind. And he put it down. And he was really bold about it, just casually using but this really common term.
The funny thing missing from this Lake Morena article that I'm reading right now, well, not article, blurb, is the lack of fish haunting that's going on. Mm-hmm. It seems to be more focused on a baby christening gown than fish haunting. That's more than it. They need to be known for more than the fish haunting. Here, they're like, yeah, that's just a fish ghost. It's fucking time.
Yeah, nobody really cared about that baby christening gown because it was just a ghost fish that was doing it.
It floated to her, brushed her cheek, floated back to where she had first seen it, and disappeared, end quote. Oh, it just appeared out of nowhere. Okay.
Oh, it was a ghost baby christening gown. What a twist. I'm glad we got to the end of that story, finally.
Yeah, that was... I've never heard of a ghost christening gown before.
This place is just full of ghost fish. Yeah, ghost fish, ghost christening gown.
This is the weirdest one yet. Okay. Lake Ronkonkoma. Ronkonkoma, New York. I had to sound that one out.
New York's kind of full of them, isn't it?
Full of haunted. I don't know how many they have. At least a couple of them are haunted. Long Island's deepest lake was once the setting of a tragic love story. It's like Romeo and Juliet, but far wetter. I didn't think of the original one as particularly dry, but not wet either. Legend has it that back in the 17th century, a Native American princess fell in love with a colonist on the other side of the lake. Star-crossed lovers were forbidden from meeting, and the princess wrote notes confessing her love on a piece of bark and floating it across the lake. Ballsy, thinking the right person would get it. Heartbroken by the lack of response, she canoed to the middle of the lake, stabbed herself in her broken heart, and her body slumped into the icy waters below.
That's a pretty harsh response to a love letter written on a log.
Yeah, that floated off and could have not gone to the intended place.
Oh. Do you think it turned into like a chain letter and that's why she ended up killing herself?
And that's the origin of the chain letter.
Yeah. Forward this log on to 10 more people or you will die.
You know what's funny? This generation is never going to know. When's the last time you got a chain letter? Did you ever get one?
I don't think I did. And I also, I know the email version existed, but I think they get caught by spam filters now.
Yeah.
Also, people try to make money off them now too, which is really sad.
I legit got one in the mail. That's a pity that technology took chain letters away. The new generation is, that's so sad for them. Okay, some versions of the legend claim before she died, she cursed the lake. Whichever you believe, I didn't give two options here, so I mean, there's only that one to believe if you want to. The routine drowning of a young man on a yearly basis is enough to stir up the story. There have been at least 160 drownings here from the 1850s to the 1970s. A majority were men fitting the story. Is she still looking for the man she could never be with? Or is she punishing the local community for the divide that kept her from her love?
It could also just be like a fairly normal amount of deaths on the water over that time period. I don't know.
Yeah, we'd have to look at all the...
To die in water quite a lot.
Yeah. Lake Lanier, Georgia. Lanier, Georgia. There are a number of ghosts seen at this lake. There's a spirit of a woman in a flowing blue dress roaming around this lake. And several pairs of supernatural hands have been felt reaching out of the depths and grabbing swimmers mid-stroke. This is why you stay out of the water, like lakes and stuff.
I thought it was because of the ghost fish.
Ghost fish? Random hands touching you under the water? You don't know what's there. You can't see in there. Ninjin? Like, who even knows what's in the water? Nobody. But this paranormal phenomenon is nothing compared to what lurks underneath the water. What? There's more? Lake was actually created in the 1950s by flooding valley communities. The local government wanted to provide surrounding towns and the city of Atlanta with water and power, but to do this, they'd have to create ghost towns and then effectively drown them. That's an interesting way to say.
Did they really have to?
They had to. They had to drown towns.
Gotta do it. I feel like somebody jumped to a conclusion at some point during that was not supported by the steps they'd followed to that point.
Locals that had sold land to the government gathered during the building of the dam and watched the waters rising above the place they once called home. But in these communities were cemeteries. The dead did not consent to this. More than 200 people have died in mysterious accidents on the lake since 1994. Well, it sounds like they know that it's the hands. So how mysterious could it be?
Hey, nobody has ruled out the ghost fish yet. Or the baby christening hauntings.
Manchac Swamp, Louisiana. Oh, this sounds fucking haunted as fuck. Manchac wetlands are known for being, well, grotesque. I knew it just by that name. They're thick with pea green ooze.
Huh.
Why fill a lake with pea green ooze? Riddled with bugs and festering with gators. But according to some, the greatest threat is the local voodoo priestess, Julia Brown. Brown's popular for these campground hauntings.
Oh man, she was known, I feel like this might be a little racist.
Is this the same Brown that already came up? It might be a little racist, you're right. It is Louisiana. She was known for her charms, curses, and singing strange songs on her porch. But there is one verse which in hindsight made a lot of sense. Quote, "One day I'm going to die and take the whole town with me," end quote.
People just let her sing that song on her porch. What did the town... I feel like we're missing some context on what the town did to her.
Yeah. Don't you feel like the town did something to her?
I really do.
You don't just sing that for no reason. You sing that because you want the whole town to die with.
And or you really need a ride. But I just feel like that's not the case here.
On the day of her funeral, a huge hurricane swept through Louisiana. On September 29th, 1915, the 120-mile-per-hour winds killed 300 people with homes, buildings, and railways destroyed. Locals claim that this was caused by a curse created by Brown. She is even rumored to still be seen cackling by the water's edge. Do we know her connection to this? Was this even a campground?
That's a good question at this point.
How did this make it in? Anyhow, next one. Lake Tahoe, California. Tahoe Truckia is steeped in paranormal tales, stretching back as far as the legends of the local Native Americans. Many hotels and cabins claim to have their own supernatural entities concealed within their hotel, which you can see for yourself for a booking fee, of course. But the spirit that haunts Emerald Bay can be seen for free. Well, why don't you just go there? We're full of pointers on this one for camping. Captain Dick Barter was known for telling stories of his seafaring days in the early 19th century. His encounters were capsizing in frosty waters, grizzly bear attacks, and by the sounds of it, a serious alcohol problem made him the talk of the town. Apparently, Captain Barter just can't stop reliving his glory days. One night after going heavy in the bar, Barker boarded his boat and sailed home, but he was never seen again. Somewhere on the route back, he capsized and died. His body was never found. His spirit is often seen swimming in the area during foggy moments, trying to find his way back to the tomb he built years before he passed. Huh? Anyhow, Reddit stories. I got a few. Couple for you. We're not gonna see who was the guy we liked. He doesn't come back, unfortunately. He's the first man. Reddit encounter, I think, in the beginning of
Moon Jockey. I miss Moon Jockey already.
Yeah, I know. He was handy. He really gave us some good tips. The land I can never step in. C. Scoffman. This happened to me when I was little. I went camping with my older brother and my mom. I was about 7 or 8 and I went to bed around 10 in a sleeping bag inside my tent with both my mom and brother. Sometime during the night, I don't know when, I woke up somewhere in the middle of the woods still in my sleeping bag. like, I had no idea where I was or where my tent was. I screamed for my mom and I heard her calling back for me in a panic, but she was easily 100 yards away or so. To this day, I have no idea how I ended up in the middle of the woods and still inside my sleeping bag. Gives me the chills. Strike Eagle 784. Not me, but a family member back in Arizona claims to have had a run-in with the Wendigo. He was camping in the woods near Flagstaff when in the middle of the night he heard some strange noises coming from the woods. When he woke up the next morning, he found some strange marks on his body that weren't there the previous day. Someone he knew claimed that he was attacked by a Wendigo. As a result, since apparently the area has been known to have Wendigo sightings. That's a strange conclusion to come to if you wake up with marks on your body. Oh, here's a good one. Taylor, you're going to like this one.
Okay.
Twisted Medic 2K, 4 years ago. I once saw someone picking up their trash and taking it home with them instead of leaving it in the wilderness. Spooky.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's terrifying.
User Anus Almond. Anna Salmon. I don't know how to.
Are you okay?
I had a paranormal encounter when I was camping with a few friends in Okanagan Falls. Spooky! British Columbia, Canada. We were camping to celebrate my 13th birthday, and the girls and I had walked down to the lake for a swim. On the walk back to our campground, we walked along a river that had a fair-sized dam. Fortunately, there has been an incident where two brothers drowned after being unable to escape the turbines a few years earlier. This town was only 40 minutes from my hometown, so we had heard the story on the news. The dam had been marked with a skull and crossbones and large signs saying danger. We were a couple hundred meters down the river and close to our campground when I saw an incredibly clear and bright white figure of a preteen boy walking atop the water. I stopped and told my friend to look, and one of them did and exclaimed she saw him too. The other covered her face and said she was too scared to look. That's when the fight broke out. No, I was wrong. We watched him for a few minutes until he faded away. He walked along the river's surface slowly for about 10 meters and disappeared. It is still the most incredible supernatural encounter I have ever had. And that is the end of my Friday the 13th.
I enjoyed episode. It, and I hope that we're able to get Boon Jockey to where he or she needs to be. Both for the vibe setting and for the hauntedness.
Have an experience.
Yeah.
There's definitely going to be some ideas for Moon Jockey on this episode. I personally think I would go with the haunted fish.
Yeah.
There's tons. You're not going to not have a fish.
See, yeah. Isn't that the one you're going to get in a fight at, though?
No,
or is that
a different one?
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's where I go.
Choose your own adventure, I guess. Fish or fight. Or, you know, the other ones.
Yeah, I guess there's other ones too you could pick.
But I hope that makes your Friday the 13th a little bit spookier, especially when you're picturing it all or just straight up listening to it from inside your... I do not recommend that. I wouldn't do it. I mean, you can if you don't scare easily, but I mean, I wouldn't find this overly spooky unless I was in a campground in a tent listening to
this
episode.
Okay, and I think with that, I have been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.